Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about having a new friend on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Kathy Ferguson is with us. She's the Business Unit Executive for Asset Recovery Solutions at IBM. She's been with IBM for 24 years, it says right here, and that means she probably started when she was only about six, and with IBM. She's our new friend. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. That's a very nice introduction.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it, right, Kathy?
Absolutely.
It's good to have you on the show, Kathy. You know, I said something to my audience earlier in the hour that I probably never – I said a term that I probably never used before. I've talked about this before, but I've never used this term before. I said the word e-waste. Now, I've talked to them about e-shopping and e-commerce and e-business and all kinds of other e-things, but I've never said e-waste before. Now, I know what e-waste is, but and my audience probably can figure it out intuitively, but why don't you tell us what that means?
E-waste, electronic waste, and specifically in our arena, we're talking about all of those PCs, whether it's laptops, desktops, monitors, printers, but those hundreds of millions of PCs that are out there and becoming obsolete, that's going to create a big pile of electronic waste.
I think we don't need to say past a future tense. I think we can talk about present tense.
True.
because I think I've got almost that many in my back room here. I call it the graveyard.
Absolutely. My other term for it is an internal landfill.
Yeah. that's a good one. Well, you know, I've got everything that you, every single thing that you just said, component that you said is in my graveyard. And I've actually had one round of getting rid of things. And I mean, of course, I've been on computer a long time. I've had a PC since like 81. And so I bought a lot of technology over the years, and some of I think I've still got one or two that of the original ones, but just because it reminds me of the old days. But seriously, there are a lot of businesses out there that have all these things, cables and everything else, and it is becoming a problem, isn't it? We're starting to develop a little e-waste critical mass, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It's a huge problem, and actually, IDC has estimated that most companies store old and obsolete equipment for an average of 3 years. So that means after its useful life, they've still got it still tucked away in some closet or hallway or basement. Or I've even seen one customer who used a whole floor of their building to just stack this stuff floor to ceiling.
Well, you know, some of them are pretty good fern stands. You know, if you want to use them like that, but. Here's another number. One industry estimate says that and maybe you said this earlier, and 315 million PCs. Did you say that number?
I did not say that number. I was just saying hundreds of millions, but yes.
315 million PCs will be obsolete by the end of this year. And, of course, the technology companies are saying from my mouth to God's ears, obviously. But seriously, one of the things I think – That for most small business owners, our graveyard or our e-waste is really kind of in our way, but there are other issues involved, aren't there? I mean, number one, that space is unproductive when it's sitting there, but one of the reasons why I think that people don't get rid of their e-waste is because I think they just don't know how, because the garbage men won't pick it up and take it away.
Correct. Well, and I think it's twofold. One is they don't know how. And then secondly, the traditional of I'll just put it outside in the dumpster doesn't work, because you are faced with potential risks associated with both the environment Mm-hmm. And even more importantly these days, with the information that's still on that asset.
Well, the other thing I think we don't want to do, a lot of times the reason we're reluctant to throw things away like that is because we spend a lot of money for it, and it kind of breaks our heart to get, you know, just to throw it away. We keep believing that it's going to come to life or something. But one of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize is what you just said, and that is that there are environmental issues. And can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that we can have from an environmental standpoint?
Well, in each of these kinds of assets that we're talking about, whether it be a laptop or a desktop or a monitor, there are some hazardous materials in that asset. As an example, monitors have lead content to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and you just dump this into a landfill somewhere. Over time, that hazardous material is going to be leaking out, and
right.
You're going to have great environmental
exposure.
It'll
leach into the ground and then wind up in the groundwater.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's one example of
that's a big no-no in terms of the environmental laws.
Absolutely.
So you got to watch out for that. But another thing is, Kathy, is the is on the PCs themselves, the hard drives. I mean, that's those hard drives, even though the machine doesn't work, those hard drives could be accessed by somebody if you don't erase all that that might want to, you know, see what you've been up to for the last year or two.
No question about it.
The security issue.
Very careful. The security issue is huge. And, you know, there are all sorts of laws these days, and I'm sure some folks are familiar, but HIPAA, which is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability
right.
Act, RFPA, which is the Right to Financial Privacy Act, and GLB, which is Gramm-Leach-Bliley, all of those regulations mandate an assortment of obligations and or liabilities associated with the data. And so if you're not erasing that hard drive and getting rid of that kind of sensitive, proprietary government or patient data, you could be exposed to a variety of consequences.
Kathy, and these are things that people haven't thought about a lot of times, I think. And folks, when we're going to take a break in a few seconds. And when we come back, we're going to get Kathy to tell us about some ideas about how we can get some help with this. I've got some ideas, too. I've got some thoughts, some things that I've done myself. But we're going to give you two or three or four, maybe, different ideas about how you can get help and maybe even get some of your a little bit of a return on your e-waste. Maybe even make a little money off of it. And we're going to talk about that after these messages. It's not that hard, and we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Kathy Ferguson. She's the Business Unit Executive for Asset Recovery at IBM. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend Kathy Ferguson. She's the Business Unit Executive for Asset Recovery Solutions at IBM's Global Financing Division, and we're talking about e-waste and what to do about it. Kathy, one of the things I found is that people don't come by and knock on my door and say, "Hey, let me help you with your graveyard back there, your technology graveyard, or your e-waste, or let me explain to you what the problems are and what some of the challenges that you have, besides the fact that it's in your way." People aren't really doing that. Now, I'm not saying that you can't look in the Yellow Pages or whatever, because I've actually found a couple of people in my part of the world that will do this. But it wasn't very easy to do it. I actually had to load the stuff up and take it to them. They picked through it, and then they told me what they would take and what they wouldn't take. And I didn't get any money. They just said one guy that I talked to was refurbishing it to give to charities. But the thing is that I brought some of it back because he wouldn't take all of it.
Right, because that's a common problem where the charities, they don't want to have all of the junk being cascaded to them.
Right.
So folks who are in that business have to pick and choose and can really only take them, you know, more current technology, because otherwise the charities aren't going to accept it.
Well, and that's a very worthy thing. I mean, good for him for doing that. I'm proud of him for doing that. But it didn't make my it didn't make my business day any easier, and it only somewhat solved my problem, because I've still got a graveyard. And so one of the reasons when I found out about the services that you guys provide, I wanted to make them available to my audience and to tell them. Let's get you to tell us how that works. And folks, there may be other people out there who do this, but Kathy's organization is one example, and I wanted you to hear about how this works. So as you're evaluating what to do with your e-waste, you know where to start. And Kathy, tell us about how this works.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're on a good point. What I think is a real advantage to how our thing works is that we have a suite of offerings so that we can handle everything. In other words, we can handle the product that still has value in the marketplace and get money back to you, mm-hmm. but we can also then help to scrap the really old stuff in an environmentally appropriate way. And we handle the dismantling and the scrapping, and you know, the scrapping is really recycling, mm-hmm. of all of those different components, such that number one, you've got the peace of mind, if you will, from an environmental perspective, but we're also doing the environmentally responsible thing, and less than 2% of what we recycle ultimately ends up in a landfill, and that just mm-hmm. tends to be more like, you know, the styrofoam packing.
The inert things, yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, but now, give us the location where we can go to find out how this works.
Okay.
You got a website, right?
Yeah, we do. If you visit ibm.com/business center, and then under services, you can click on PC buyback. There's a very simple web tool that will allow you to enter the specs of your equipment, and it will come back and give you the value that we're willing to pay. Or it will.
So we actually get a little bit of a feedback right there on the spot, right?
Yes, so you know immediately, does my equipment have value, or it doesn't have value, and then you can get a quote for the cost of scrapping the equipment.
So what do we need to know? The name of the product and the age of it, or what is it?
The key elements that you want to know: who's the manufacturer, and we'll take any PC manufacturer. We're not an
Whether
IBM
it's
only.
IBM or any of the other PCs, or even Macintosh.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. And including any peripherals, printers and hard drives, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And so you need to know the manufacturer. And then the key element is, from a laptop or desktop perspective, is to know what the processor speed is. So do I have a Pentium 2450 as an example?
Right.
And then how much memory you have on it, or RAM. Mm-hmm.
How much RAM.
And what's your hard drive size? And do I have a CD or a DVD,
right.
or you know, sort of what optical medium do I have? And really, that's all you need to know. And if you go into the website and there's something that's unclear, or you've got something that we're not pricing automatically, we also have a telesales support, which is you can call 1-888-SHOP-IBM. And you select option 1 and then enter 7615. And they can also give, the folks on the phone can then give you a real-time quote.
Right.
And maybe help work through anything that's questionable.
Now, Kathy, let's say that you cut the deal, so to speak. Then you actually send people to the offices to pick this up, right?
Yes.
Okay. What
so
about...
We.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was to say, we have transportation vendors who we will dispatch to go and pick up the equipment.
I got you. What about things that you won't pay for? Does it cost me if somebody picks those up that don't have any value? Do I have to pay for that?
You do have to pay for that.
Okay, so it's possible that I could have to pay for you to take some things away, but you might actually pay me for some of the things that you take away.
Correct.
And folks, again, this is a place to start to get rid of your e-waste the right way. And I encourage you to check this out. It's at ibm.com/business center under services, right?
Yes, PC okay. buyback under services.
Sounds good. Folks, pay attention to this. This is something important. You can clean up that room, that closet, and maybe even pick up a little cash. Kathy Ferguson, thank you for being here today.
Jim, thank you so much for having me.
It's a lot of fun. I hope you come back again and kind of give us an update on this in the future.
I would love to.
Thank you. Kathy Ferguson, ladies and gentlemen, she's the Business Unit Executive for Asset Recovery Solutions at IBM's Global Financing Division. 29 After, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Rich Salmon. He's at the Democratic National Convention. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Stay away from me, American woman. Mama, let me be.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.